Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church this fine May morning. Happy birthday, Lynn. And welcome to our online congregation today. I invite you to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with this morning's message. After our second service today, we have the cake auction. So if you can come back for that, I'm sure you would enjoy it. We have a sub lunch, and you're all invited to come to that. The proceeds go for the youth ministry, their summer activities. Does God Himself ever speak to you? I mean individually, guiding you to do this or to do that. Do you long for God to speak to you, to pilot you, to teach you His will? You say, does God do that sort of thing? Yes, He does, for certain kinds of people. And today we're learning about the kind of person God guides. It's part six in our series, Revealing God. It's a series in Exodus chapters 7 through 19. Exodus tells the story of how God rescues His people, the Israelites, from their bondage in slavery in Egypt some 3,500 years ago. In Exodus, God shows us what He's like by what He does and by what He says. Now, last Sunday, we left the Israelites camped near Mount Sinai, where they won a decisive battle against the Amalekites. And as they fought, Moses was on a nearby hillside praying. And because of his prayers, the Israelites prevailed in their battle. Last Sunday was about our need for victory. Today, we see how God meets our need for guidance. Moses is God's mouthpiece. He's God's prophet. He tells people God's will. The Israelites needed guidance for their everyday lives, and so they come to Moses for it. Trouble is, the Israelites are 2 million people. Moses, well, he's just one person. And all these people, well, they're hungry for guidance. How can the everyday Israelite get guidance for everyday needs? Well, today we find out, not only for them, but also for us. It's all wrapped up in the main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. When you seek God to guide, He'll provide. When you seek God to guide, He'll provide. God is not reluctant to guide you. In fact, He's willing. He wants to guide you a lot more than you want to be guided. But you must be the right kind of person. Today we're looking at four kinds of persons God guides. The first one, point number one on your outline, is the seeking outsider. The seeking outsider, not just the insider. This is the non-believer who's heard about God and longs to learn more about Him. Will God guide such a person? Well, let's find out. We're in Exodus chapter 18, and we're going to look pretty much at the whole chapter today. We begin at verse 1, and when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to read along out loud with me. Let's jump in. It says, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, note, the priest of Midian, heard about everything God had done for Moses and his people. the Israelites. He heard especially how the Lord had rescued them from Egypt. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, now came to visit Moses in the wilderness. He brought Moses' wife and two sons with him. And they arrived while Moses and the people were camped near the mountain of God. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed low and kissed him. They asked about each other's welfare, and then they went into Moses' tent. Moses told his father-in-law everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and Egypt on behalf of Israel. He also told about all the hardships, didn't leave that out, all the hardships they had experienced along the way, and how the Lord had rescued his people from all their troubles. Jethro was delighted when he heard about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel as he rescued them from the hand of the Egyptians. "Praise the Lord," Jethro said, "for he has rescued you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Yes, he has rescued Israel from the powerful hand of Egypt. I know now that the Lord is greater than all other gods, because he rescued his people from the oppression of the proud Egyptians." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Aaron and all the elders of Israel came out and joined him in a sacrificial meal in God's presence. That's the word of the Lord. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, well, he's not a believer in the one true God, in Yahweh, the God of Israel, when he first comes to visit Moses. Notice it says that Jethro was the high priest of Midian. Now, Midian is a pagan nation, and he is the leader in the pagan religion of the Midianites. He worships other gods. He knows about the Lord. Of course, he's heard about him, Yahweh, the one true God, the God of Israel. He's heard of him. He's heard about, through the hearsay, the caravans and so forth, of all the awesome miracles in rescuing Israel from Egypt. And while Moses was busy doing all of that, he had sent his wife and his two sons to stay with Jethro. And now that Israel is kind of settling there at the mountain of God, Jethro is bringing them back to Moses to reunite them. And Jethro comes hungry. He's heard and he's eager to learn. Moses tells Jethro the Exodus story in detail. He tells him about the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and the manna and all the other things. And as Moses shares his faith, Jethro is blown away. What other God could do such a thing? "None," Jethro says. "I'm convinced. I know now that Yahweh is the God above all gods." And then it says that Jethro brings sacrifices. He brings offerings to the Lord. And that all of the Israelites come together for this big banquet to celebrate Jethro's conversion. The former pagan priest is now a Yahweh worshiper and a new member of the Israelite community. Notice again that this celebration dinner was held in God's presence. That means it's a sacred meal. Now, why would all of the nation's top leaders make such a fuss about this one guy bringing out, you know, some things to sacrifice to the Lord? Well, it's because that Jethro says, I know now that the Lord is greater than all the other gods. The key word here is know. We've talked about this throughout this series and the first series and the first 6 or 7 chapters of Exodus. Recall, all through Exodus, we've seen God say that through the events of the Exodus, people will know that I am the Lord, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth, it says in chapter 9, verse 16. And guess what? It's happening. They're witnessing it taking place. God's promise to Abraham 400 years earlier that his descendants would bring blessing on all the nations, it's now beginning to happen. Even a pagan priest is worshiping Yahweh and will lead others to do so. You know, later in Scripture, we learn about the Kenites. The Kenites. The Kenites are not people associated with Ken Leslie. Those are not the Kenites. No, the Kenites are descendants of Jethro, who worship the Lord. And the Lord is with them, and they are part of the community of Israel. Now, maybe this sort of thing has happened to you in your life. Maybe not as dramatic as this particular case, but you too heard about Jesus, maybe from a friend or a neighbor, or maybe you watched a podcast or read something, or maybe you just remembered what you learned when you were growing up in church, and somehow you sensed a hunger to learn more about God. You heard about Jesus, that he died for you on the cross and arose from the dead, and that you need him and him alone to be saved. And like Jethro, you said eventually, now I know that Jesus is Lord and that I need him as my Savior. Jethro was an outsider, but he became an insider, a believer and a worshiper of the one true God because he sought the Lord. If you're hungry for God, guess what? It's because he's reaching out to you. He loves you, and he wants you to find him. In the book of Acts, way many centuries later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this in chapter 17, beginning at verse 26. I think it says 20, supposed to say 26 through 27. Listen to what he says. God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Well, why would he do that? Verse 27 tells us, God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. I love that verse. Note, God marked out when and where the nations, the people, would live just so they would seek him. And not just seek him, but find him. Where were you born? What's your address? When were you born? What's your birthday? Guess what? You live when you live and where you live so that you might seek him. That's what this verse is talking about here. God has arranged it that way. Are you seeking God? Are you? That's because he's been seeking you. He's set things up so that you would do so. And today he's answering you. He's saying, I'm found. I'm found in Jesus. Come, he's saying, leave your idols, as Jethro left his, and repent of your sins. I died for you, he says. I love you. I'll forgive you. I'll save you. I'll lead you throughout your life. You come, he says. And so the seeking outsider, that's the first kind of person that God guides. The second kind, number two on your outline, is the hungry insider. Yes. You say, wow, that's really cool. I mean, God guides seekers to himself. I mean, that's a huge encouragement to me when I share my faith with unbelievers. I know that I'm not alone. I know that God is working behind the scenes to draw that person to himself. But what about my need for guidance? Does God personally guide insiders, people who already follow Jesus? You bet. Let's pick up the story in chapter 18, verse 13. It says, the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. Note that. They waited there all that time. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around from morning till evening? Moses replied, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions. So these people are hungry. I mean, they're lining up all day long. You have to be pretty determined to stand in a line all day long. Moses was God's mouthpiece. He's God's prophet. People come to him for direction about a dispute or this or that problem, and Moses tells them what to do. One guy may say, I want to divorce my wife. What should I do? Another might say, my neighbor, he stole my cloak, but he won't admit it. What should I do? A woman might say, my husband, he's crazy jealous. He's obsessed. He thinks that I'm unfaithful to him. I keep telling him that he's wrong, but he won't believe me. What should I do? I keep assuring him that I'm faithful. A couple might say, our son has this nasty, itchy red spot on his leg, and it seems to be spreading. Is it dangerous? What should we do about this? Is it dangerous to the family? Now, Moses would provide God's guidance for each person, each individual case, every question. It was personal. You say, well, that's great for them, but where's Moses now when we need advice like this? Well, answer, you don't need him. After Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit into every person who follows Jesus and seeks to know his will. You see, in Old Testament times, it was only the prophets. It was only the special people, the kings, the priests, and maybe once in a long while, a common person here or there that would receive guidance from God, and then it was only very spotty. But now, since the coming of the Holy Spirit, God speaks to every believer who will listen to him and seek his guidance. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The Apostle John, speaking to a church, he says, you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what's true. What's that do for me? Let's look at the next sentence. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Astounding. You don't need Moses. You don't need a prophet to hear from God. The Holy Spirit will directly speak to you if, as it says, you remain in fellowship with Christ. You say, now, no, but wait a minute. You mean every believer gets this? Yeah. Well, then, I guess we don't need you, Randy. We don't need you to teach. We don't need sermons. We don't need even the Bible. Because God speaks directly to each of us. Is that what you're telling me this text says? Is that what it means when it says you don't need anyone to teach you? No. That's not what it means. Let me help you. You see, it's important to note that every time the pronoun you appears in this text in the Greek, it's in the plural. It could be legitimately translated you all, although it would sound like, you know, John was from the South or something, all right? But every time the word you appears, just think you all. He's talking to a group. He's talking to the church here. You see, this is the backstory. Some false teachers were claiming that the church was incomplete, that church, that local church was incomplete because they didn't have these teachers to teach them. And these teachers were saying, well, you need somebody to teach you. You need somebody to set you straight. And the Apostle John says, no, as a church, you all have what you need. You have the scriptures, you have teachers and prophets, and also you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to teach you. You have all that you need. You don't need these false teachers. You've got the Holy Spirit. Christian, the Holy Spirit does speak to us today. And one way is directly to your heart as you obey the word and stay in fellowship with Jesus. This text is really, it's very hard if you're a Lone Ranger Christian. You're not going anywhere to church. You're not connected with the church because this is not really speaking to you. This is speaking to the congregation. And together we learn and we grow, but God does speak to individuals. God spoke to me about starting a new church. Debbie and I prayed for a year about this. And then we brought it to the elders, and they prayed about it and asked, is this God's leading? And they decided that it is. And then Debbie and I set out to start Stony Creek Church. That's how it began. Through the leading of the Lord, you see. God does guide people. The third kind of person that God guides, number three on your outline, the equipped leader. Question. How do you know when and what God may be speaking to you? You know, people often mistake their own desires, their emotions, or their circumstances for the voice and will of God. One young lady was sleeping with her boyfriend, and she told me, you know, I know that this is usually wrong. Usually. It is. But you see, I've talked with God about it. And he understands. He knows. He understands. I had to tell her as gently as I could, this is self-deception. That's not the Lord telling you that. God will never tell you something that's contrary to Scripture. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the final authority. And so if you think God may be telling you something through circumstances or events or a person at work, how do you know whether it's God or just your own desires? Or what about the newbie Christian? He may not know anything about the Scriptures. Well, what about this person? Well, let's go back to Jethro and Moses. The Israelites, you see, had the same need. God speaks to Moses, but Moses is just one person among 2 million Israelites. You think the line at Cedar Point is long? 2 million people. That can be form a pretty long line to talk to just one guy. All right, it's not like at the drive-thru where you know they split you off into different things. This is just one guy. Well, let's see what it says in Exodus 18, beginning at verse 17. "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now, listen to me, and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to Him. Teach them God's decrees and give them His instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you." You can't do it all, Moses. You got too much on your plate. You need to learn to delegate, says Jethro. Looky here, Jethro. Way to go, man. I mean, he's a newbie believer, and he's already being used by God to help this whole nation, to help this national leader, Moses. Moses follows Jethro's excellent advice. He searches out for godly men with outstanding character, and he appoints them to judge and to teach and to lead. And folks, this became the basis for the government of Israel. It's called a kritocracy, if you're taking notes. A kritocracy. That is a nation ruled by judges. And they govern Israel for over 400 years before the monarchy. That's way longer than the United States has been a nation. That's how long this system was in place. Today, Jesus leads the local church in a similar way. He delegates godly leaders and who are trained and equipped to teach and to model the congregation the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ." This is their role. I thank God, as should we all, for the leaders the Lord has provided this local church. I'm telling you, they are really gems. I just thank God continually for Chris and for Ken and for Andy and Jody and the elders. Just a group of godly people that lead this church and other ministries that are led here by, like, the small group leaders and so forth. They're trained for their ministry. They are leaders who exhibit godly Christian character, just as Jethro advised Moses to find. Perhaps God is leading you into leadership here at Stony Creek Church. If you think so, if you think that God might be tugging on your heart for that, then approach a leader here at Stony, maybe the ministry where you think, hey, you know, I think I could fit in there and maybe even provide some leadership. If you think so, approach a leader and ask if you can get trained and coached and equipped. But our story isn't just for the big shot leader, as if there were such a thing. Even a newbie like Jethro can benefit the whole family of God. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen many times here at Stony Creek Church. A newbie sometimes can see things with a fresh pair of eyes that the rest of us, well, we've just become so blind to things because we've just gotten used to it where we don't see what's right under our noses, and that newbie sees it, and we can learn from that and benefit from that. God works through all of us. That's the wonderful truth about the body of Christ. It's not just the leaders. That's why the members of Stony Creek Church vote on stuff here at Stony, the yearly budget. They vote on new elders coming on or new staff people or major purchases. They have a say in what happens here at Stony. And so take the Explore class if you haven't already done so. Learn your spiritual gifts. Get involved in ministry. God's Spirit is in every believer. He's gifted you. He's gifted you in some way to serve. Well, let's look in the remaining moments here at the fourth kind of person that God guides, and that is the reader of Scripture. You know, biblical scholars are often baffled by the placement of this chapter, chapter 18 in the book of Exodus. They ask, what's this story doing here at this point? How does it contribute to the overall message? And there are all different kinds of theories about that. It's a great story, but how does it contribute to the flow? Well, I believe this chapter is in the exact spot that it's in the book of Exodus to illustrate the need for the written word of God. Get it now. Think about it. The people are camped at Mount Sinai. Moses is trying to fight burnout, trying to advise all these people, and then he's teaching godly men to teach others. This is an enormous task in and of itself, but Moses can only live so long. God's word needs to be made available to all of us for all time. It needs to be written down permanently. At the time Jethro visited Moses, none of the 66 books of the Bible had been written yet. There was no Bible at all. The Ten Commandments even hadn't been given yet. They're given in chapter 20. This is chapter 18. At this point in the book, God has yet to give his law to Moses. God speaks to Moses, and then Moses teaches the people. And he teaches leaders, and they help teach others. But there's no written word of God yet. Well, no worries. It won't be long. See, during the 40 years in the wilderness, Moses will write the substance of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and pass it down to Joshua, who will write more. And he'll pass it down to judges and prophets, who will write more of the Old Testament. And they will pass it down through the generations. Today, we have the complete Bible, all 66 books, this treasure trove of God's written word. It's been faithfully passed down to us. Moses placed this story right here, right before the law is given, to show the great need for it. A written document that everyone could read and believe and treasure and pass down to their kids. The Bible is the most reliable source of God's word that you'll find anywhere. Why? Because it's the written word of God. It's not, dependent on our subjective feelings that could get mixed in there if we think God spoke to us or somebody else. It is without error. Every word of God is flawless, says Proverbs 30, verse 5. When you open this book, you encounter God speaking to you. This is the written word of God. All scripture is inspired by God, says 2 Timothy 3:16. Every time you open this book, God speaks to you. You say, well, I read the Bible, but I just don't hear the voice of God. Well, you got to listen. This is the voice of God. This is the written word of God. It's not just when you feel something. It's the written word of God even if you don't feel anything. You just have to open it and read it and believe it. Read the Bible every day. Begin with a chapter or so if you're not doing this already. And before you read it, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to help you, to understand it, to change you, to apply it to your life. And after you read it, then look back at what you just read and read it over and ask, what is God telling me to do here in this passage? What is he telling me to believe? What is he telling me to do here in this passage? Ask him. Then I'd say join up with a small group of people. You can go on our website, Stony Creek Church, stonycreek.church, and find our small group. You click onto ministries, click onto small groups, and find a small group that you can join. Get with other people to study the word together. When you seek God to guide, he'll provide. Which of the four persons can you identify with today? Are you a seeker of the one true God? Well, let us help you. Maybe you've sensed a tug that you need to become a Jesus follower. Come on down here after the service. It's going to end in just a few moments. And talk to one of the members of our pastoral prayer team. Say, I sense I need to become a follower. Would you help me to make that decision, to take that step? Or for whatever need you might have, come down for prayer. Are you a believer who's seeking a word from God? Ask him. He'll answer you. Are you a future leader? Well, approach a leader here and find out how you can get trained and equipped. Are you a person who needs to get back into God's word? Is this how your Bible looks? Well, get back into God's word. Fan your hunger into a roaring flame for the word. Dive right in. Devour scripture like a starving man devours food. We're going to close our service here in just a moment, and the praise team is going to come and lead us in a time of closing song. Please stand with me if you would. We're going to dedicate our offerings to the Lord. Maybe you have already given online, or if you brought your offering, we've got the wooden box in the back. You just drop it in there as you leave today. Let's pray to the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you. You want to guide us more than we want to be guided. And so, Lord, work on our wanna-doers today. You've made all different kinds of means possible for us to hear your voice, to know your will. Lord, help us just spark within us that desire. And even if it's just a tiny little spark, fan it into flame today. We know you're willing. Make us willing today. We ask you, Lord, may we crave your voice. May we hunger for your instruction. May we delight in the word of God. And we dedicate our gifts to you, Father, our tithes and our offerings. Use them for your honor and your glory. Amen. Well, if so, fan your hunger into a roaring flame for God's word. Dive in, devour the scriptures, and you will hear God. Let's stand together, if you will, with me. We're going to close our service here in just a moment. We've got the sub-lunch coming. Hope you can stick around for that and the cake auction. You're all invited. You're all invited. It'll take us a few minutes to get things organized for that, but please stick around. If you need some prayer, you can come down and talk to a pastoral prayer team member, and we'll make sure that you get the counsel that you need for that. All right? If you brought your offering today, we've got that wooden box in the back. You can put your offering in there. Many of us have already given online, and so let's dedicate our offerings to the Lord right now, okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are a good God. You love us. You're reaching out to us to speak to us. You want to guide us way more than we want to be guided. Fan that flame of hunger for you and for your word. We're drowning in opportunities to study your word. Oh, Lord, may we take the opportunities you've given us. May we seek you. And may you be found. And may you transform all of us. I pray for the person who's hurting here today, who needs to forsake a sin, or a person here who's not born again and needs to be and is thinking that he wants to be. I pray, Father, that you would reach out your hand, extend your hand, and heal. Heal physically, heal emotionally, heal spiritually. Bring glory to the name of your Son. Do great wonders here among us. And we pray for the sub-lunch and the cake auction. We ask that you would use it for your honor and your glory today. And we give you our gifts in Jesus' name as an act of worship. Please receive them that way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.